Welcome to the Fearless Women Podcast. We're inspiring conversations for the unafraid. I'm Janice McDonald, founder of the Beacon Agency, author, and global champion for women. Why am I making this show? Because I want to share the inspiring stories of women leaders in business, arts and culture, politics, and more with all of you. Hear how they've chosen to go forward and be bold and make the world a better place, even when it wasn't easy to do. Subscribe now wherever you find podcasts. Hey, everybody, I'm Janice McDonald. Welcome to the Fearless Women Podcast. We're inspiring important conversations with the unafraid, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. These are unique times. Amplifying diverse voices is needed now more than ever. Thank you for tuning in from across Canada and so many other countries like New Zealand, Australia, USA, UK, and so many more places. Reminder, I love hearing from you, so send me an email at fearlesswomenpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram. And tell your friends. Follow us too. As you know, my book, Fearless Girls with Dreams, Women with Vision, continues to inspire, and I'm so grateful for your support. Thank you again for making it a bestseller in Canada. Now, I'm excited to feature another impressive guest on today's show, author, entrepreneur, speaker, and overall incredible woman, Zahra Alharazi. And she has quite the bio. She's written an interesting book that she's going to tell us all about called What It Takes. And she's going to give us some insights from her impressive career. Let me tell you a little bit about her. This is a long, impressive bio. As I said, she is the co-founder of Skillet, an experiential marketplace for skills. She's going to give us the scoop on that. It's launching soon. Prior to that, she was the CEO and founder of Foundry Communications, and it has won all kinds of awards in marketing and communications. She sits on the Walrus Board of Directors. She served as a Canadian ambassador to UNICEF for 4 years. She's been on so many different boards as well, including the National Make-A-Wish Foundation Board. She is one of Calgary's top 40 under 40. Here's a big one, Canadian Woman Entrepreneur of the Year from Chatelaine Magazine. One of Canada's top 100 most powerful women from WXM, RBC Top 25 Immigrants to Canada Award. I'm going to stop there because it'll take up the whole show if we keep going with her bio. I'm so excited to have her, and you're in for a real treat. Welcome to the show, Zahra.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so you went from being the founder at the impressive Foundry Communications, and now you have a new exciting company that you've co-founded called Skillet. It's launching in July. Tell us about this company and why you made the change and why we need this company now. This is exciting.
Oh, thank you so much. I built Foundry and ran it for many years, and it was really, really fun and an incredible opportunity. But at a certain point, I realized that I was lacking purpose. You know, we did marketing for other companies. We helped them sell their products and we were really good at it. But I really wanted to do something that I felt like made a difference in the world and inspired people's lives in a very different way. And I wanted to leave a legacy behind. And I started searching for that purpose and what I can do that's going to make a difference. And when I won the Chatelaine Female Entrepreneur of the Year, there was a young woman in the same magazine who won Top 20 Under 30 for Canada, and her name is Sarah Katyal. And we started talking and decided to start an experiential company together. And it kind of evolved over time as we pivoted and realized that what we really wanted to do was we wanted to solve the skills gap, but we wanted to do it in a way that solved life skills gap. And knowing that a lot of companies are missing those soft skills in young people that give them empathy and teammanship and all of that. And so we built a company called itsmyskillet.com. And what it is it's in-person skills. So any skill you want to learn, whether you want to learn how to do your taxes or build a concrete countertop or plant an herb garden or learn how to make pierogies from a grandma, a Polish grandma. So people can post their skills and teach them in person, which gave us a bit of a pause when COVID hit. Because in person wasn't going to happen for a while, but the premise was still there. The dropout rate for online learning is 98%, and people are only doing 2-minute long videos now because it's the max attention span. And so we still wanted that in-person capability, because that's how you build your soft skills, is by doing. And so we are just finishing up our virtual classroom, which is a two-way classroom where you can ask questions and not sit and watch a video. And that is launching in July, and I'm very excited. So if you're a maker, please sign up. It's myskillet.com. And that was the transition. I feel like I wanted to do something good. And the most exciting part of the company is for every 10 skills that you sell on our portal, then you have to donate one. And those skills go to young people in Canada that might not have the same access that all of us do.
Wow. I love that. Sell 10 and give one. And young people, which really, how powerful is that? The beautiful ripple effects of that. Tell us the website again.
Myskillet.com.
Beautiful. So you have used your voice. You're invited to speak all over the world. Why does speaking up matter? Why do we need to use our voices?
You know, I think because not all of us get to hear every perspective, and we're certainly learning that this month with a lot of what's going on in the world. And we tend to stay in our own little habitat and not put ourselves in other people's shoes. And I've changed my habitat so many times over the years. We left Uganda during the civil war and went to Yemen as refugees. I left Yemen after the civil war in Yemen and came to Canada as an immigrant. And, you know, I've been in so many places where I haven't fit and I haven't been part of the community and part of society, and I've had to find ways to give that to myself. And I think, you know, my ability to speak English without much of an accent has really, really helped me. But not everybody has those opportunities and those little things that ease you into what you're doing. And for many years when I was running Foundry, I was very careful with my voice because, you know, we were a service company and I never wanted to offend anybody or step on any toes or go offside with a client. And so I didn't use my voice. I didn't voice my opinion. I didn't say what I thought. And I realized that that was a miss on my part, because if I give one person a different perspective or a different idea or a different understanding, then I've served purpose. And that's always been really important to me. And so I started a speaking career kind of reluctantly and by accident. And Speaker Spotlight signed me on, and they've been absolutely wonderful to work with. And, you know, I love when people come up to me after a speech and say, I really related to that, or this made a difference. And what I hear so often, especially from women, is, you know, I realize that if you can do it, so can I. And I love that, because, yeah, we can all do it. We just need to find that place within ourselves that says, yes, I can do that with confidence.
And you have done something else with confidence, that is write your first book. So tell us about that journey. This is exciting. You did it. The book is out. Tell us more.
It's certainly been a long journey. I signed a book deal with HarperCollins 7 years ago now.
Wow.
And at the time, I was going to write a book on branding, because that was the company that I was running and I was hoping to establish myself as an expert. And HarperCollins really wanted me to write a soft business memoir. And it took a long time because, you know, it's different when you give a 40-minute speech and you touch on things from a 50,000-foot level. And then when you're actually writing a book and a memoir is so personal, and mm-hmm. as a woman, you know, we always have so many insecurities. It's like, who's going to want to read my book? Who cares what I think? And so I struggled with it for a really long time. And to Harper's Collins' credit, they didn't give up on me. And the book finally came out this January and made a couple of bestseller lists, which I was so excited about. I had an amazing writer, co-writer, Sarah Robbins, and we worked on the book together very closely for about a year. When I finally decided, okay, I'm going to do this. And it's called What It Takes to Live and Lead with Purpose, Laughter, and Strength. And throughout the book, you know, I talk about the things that I needed, what it took me to get to where I wanted to be in life, and you know, what I still need in order to get that. And that took a really deep self-examination of understanding yourself and what you need and what you're good at and what you're not good at and what you need to build on and what you need to change. And so throughout the different chapters, there's different what it takes moments, you know, what mm-hmm. it took me, and fully understanding that for every person, this is such a personal journey. And what it took me is not going to be the same as what it takes the next person, but we still have to work towards that, to finding those things and adding them to our toolbox.
Is there a story from the book you'd like to share with us?
You know, there's many different stories in the book about different learnings that might be different for different people. And one of them is a story about skydiving. And, you know, since this is the Fearless Woman podcast, it might be a good one to talk about. But I am so afraid of heights. Really, really don't like heights. And I've always been afraid of heights ever since I was a little girl. And whenever I get an opportunity, especially after my divorce, I felt, you know, like I wanted to try everything and I wanted to conquer everything and do all the things that I've never done before. And so I started testing myself. So I'd zip line in Costa Rica and I'd climb the CN Tower and do the edge walk in Toronto. And, you know, I've done the Montreal rope walk. And so I always push myself to try something. And I get this incredible feeling of exhilaration when I land. And, you know, sort of like this adrenaline rush that I conquered that and I did it. And I was on a speaking tour of Australia and New Zealand. And when I was in Adelaide, I had a slide that said, there is no lock on the cage. And I told the story of how, you know, I was afraid of heights. And now I just always try to push myself to do things that involve heights. And the feeling of exhilaration when I land is always so amazing. And somebody from the head of the president of the chapter called me the next morning and said, I really loved that slide and I really loved your story about that. And I'm also afraid of heights. And so guess what we're doing today? And I'm like, what are we doing today? And he said, we're going skydiving. I'm like, oh, shit. And so, you know, so here I had proclaimed, you know, my conquering of this fear in front of a few hundred people the day before. And so I'm like, okay, well, I guess we're going skydiving. And, you know, you learn to, at least I've learned to shut my mind and just put it away if there's something that I'm really scared of. And so I did, I got hooked up, tied to this, young man who looked like he was, you know, 12 years old. And what they don't tell you is when you're at 12,000 feet, you're so high above the clouds, you can see that the earth is round. And you are the one in front, which means you have to swing your legs out of the plane and you have to lean forward. And there's this 45 seconds of free fall where you're just falling through the sky at the speed of a bullet. And it was the scariest moment. Like, you know, I realized I didn't tell my kids what I was doing. I was going to crash and die. And then they pulled up the parachute and you kind of slowly get to the ground. And as soon as I landed, I was waiting for that feeling of exhilaration. And instead, I threw up. And then I threw up again. And I was just really, really weak for a couple of days. And I came to another realization that, you know, sometimes we're fighting demons of our own making. And there's no need for that fight. There's no need to push yourself that hard. There's no need to conquer everything that you need to. And there's no fear or shame in being afraid of heights. And it doesn't make me less of a person. And that applies to so many things in our life. And so I very proudly say I'm afraid of heights today, and I'm never going to do that again. And my daughter sent me a text, because I sent them a photo after of the skydive after I was done. And she sent me a text and she said, please tell me that you've crossed off the last thing on your midlife crisis bucket list.
Oh. And have you, or are you still
absolutely
adding to the list?
Not. Absolutely not. But, you know, I add to the list more intelligently now and think about the things that I want to do that are actually going to give me a lot of enjoyment and not something I'm fighting against that is not necessary.
Mm-hmm. So how do you take criticism in stride?
Really well. You know, I've learned a long time ago, and I think it is part of just how I've lived my life from, you know, giving birth to my son in the middle, well, right after the war was finished, when things were still bad in Yemen. There was no medication and no electricity and little running water. And, you know, there's been so many incidents in my life where things have been tough, but not really, because when you're in the middle of something big, life just seems like life, and you just move on and you deal with it and you move on to the next thing. And I think that's taught me that nobody's perfect. Life isn't perfect. I have a very thick skin. Mm-hmm. And so when somebody criticizes me, I realized that it's one of two things. It's either because something is wrong with them, or it is because something is wrong with me. And they might have a point. And so I always examine it with a different attitude. It's like, why are they saying that? You know, what did I do to maybe make them feel that way? Or what have I done to make me that way? And if it's not my problem, then it's not my problem, and I let go of it. But, you know, that self-examination, I think, is really important, because we do all have faults and we do all have things about us that might not be perfect and might not be the way that we want them to be. And we also have blind spots. And mm-hmm. So looking at criticism as something to learn from is important. And I think we don't do enough of that in our life in every area. And so, like I said, I have a thick skin. I look at things differently, and I learn from what people say, like either about them or about me. And I have changed my mind multiple times, and I have fixed things about myself that I didn't realize. And, you know, one of them, for example, is growing up in a society where I felt like I didn't have as much worth as a woman and didn't have a voice. When I actually did find my voice, I used it very liberally. And I came across as really strong a lot of times, where I just didn't give I didn't care what people thought. I was going to do it my way, and now that I could. And I realized that that's not how you use your voice. You know, you can't railroad people. And I had to step back a little bit outside myself and think about my approach. And so, yes, I will still say what I think, and I will still do things with conviction, but I will do them after listening and understanding everything that I need to and that I can about a situation.
You reinvented yourself in many different ways, and you've taken on expanded titles in the sense of not only this successful entrepreneur, but you've added author and volunteer and board director, etc. What's your advice for ambitious women?
You know, I think be fearless is one of them. I think as women, we put a lot of stress on ourselves. You know, we need to be perfect. We need to be the perfect homemaker, perfect hostess, perfect mom, you know, perfect in the office. And I think we tend to do that more than men do, because as we all know, if a man only has 70% of what a job description is asking for, they'll apply for the job. Whereas mm-hmm. women at 95% are like, oh, I don't think I have this thing, and are more hesitant about doing it. And I think we don't take credit as much We don't want to fail. And I know I did that. I never wanted to fail because I always felt like I needed to set a certain example for my children and I needed to be a certain way. And for a lot of that, I didn't include them in the bad stuff because I didn't want them to see me as weaker. And I also didn't want them to have to deal with that. And it's not always the right thing because I think we're not perfect. I have served, Pizza Hut pizza more times than I care to think about at home for dinner. But it doesn't matter because, you know, you have to just move on, do things, live your life, take risks, ask questions without being afraid, take credit for what you do, speak your mind, be graceful, be classy, be strong, be soft, you know, and there's just all these things that we need to do. And I live my life. I've always, my kids hate it when I say this, and I've always believed that I was going to die young with my heels still on, you know, and the fact that I haven't put heels on since February is another story, but you know, I live my life. I do what I want to do. And I try to experience everything. I try to learn more. I try to be better. I try to become the best version of myself. And I'm not going to do that if I'm afraid. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to do that unless I step out of my comfort zone. And I do the things that are not comfortable, but make me a better version of myself. And so, you know, just live your life, do the best that you can do and do not beat yourself up if you feel like you haven't accomplished that.
Well, what about the 10-year-old you? Take us back to where you were living and what you were into and that interesting time in your life.
Oh, wow. I don't even know that person anymore. It was several lifetimes ago. Mm-hmm. And when I was 10, I was living in Yemen. I had just moved to Arabic school. And I didn't speak Arabic very well. And I was wearing, a hijab and a veil for the first time in my life. And nobody wanted to speak to me because I was that weird foreign kid. And my mother's from India, which in Yemen is, you know, it's a closed society. And when you're an outsider, you're an outsider and you're very clearly an outsider. And I was for the longest time. And I was insecure. I wasn't sure of myself. I didn't want to stand out. I didn't want to be different. I didn't want to call attention to me. I just wanted to be like everybody else. And I was so clearly not that I found it very frustrating. And I tried to change myself in so many different ways to being the person who I thought I needed to be. And it took me a really long time. It took me until I came to Canada to feel like I could be who I was. I could be proud in who I was. And those differences were a bonus and not something that was wrong with me. And it took me until I moved here to actually feel like I was home. Mm. So yeah, I don't recognize that little girl at all.
Wow. That's a very compelling story.
Thank you.
What's your view of Canada from the as an immigrant point of view? How do you see Canada?
Oh, that's a very easy question to answer. I think this is the best place on earth to live. I say that while I'm sitting at our ranch in Montana, but I love Canada. I love being Canadian. I love the story of Canada. I love how people make fun of us for saying sorry so much. You know, I think as an immigrant, I honestly don't believe that I could have been as successful as I was anywhere else. And especially Calgary, you know, Calgary was, I lived there for 20 years and it's got such a maverick, you know, cowboy, Western, big welcome kind of society. It's got this incredible entrepreneurial spirit and people work really, really hard and they play really, really hard. And, so it was an amazing place. I was this nobody immigrant from nowhere. And, you know, I'd call people up and tell them I want to learn how to buy out my business partner, or I want to learn how to do this. And I heard that they were really good at that. And nobody ever said no to me. And, you know, I made friends, I made clients, I made confidants. And it really was easy, you know, and I try to convey that in my book. You know, this is not a rags to riches story, and it's not a, you know, look at all the hurdles I climbed and all the burdens that I bore. And it really wasn't that. It was pretty damn easy. And I think it's because Canada is the country that it is.
That's so powerful, and I think really accurate. It's an amazing country, that is for sure. Now, you have been involved in many different volunteer organizations, and you continue to be. How do you decide who gets your time and attention?
You know, it changes. I try to be as impactful as I can. And I don't always believe I can be impactful in really long stretches of time, but also not in really short stretches of time. So I tend to volunteer for one or two organizations for 3 or 4 years. And I give them my full attention, and I try to do everything that I possibly can to get them to the best place along with my fellow board members. And, you know, whether that's fundraising, strategy, and everything else. And so over the years, I've kind of picked organizations that have really been important to me, and organizations that make a difference in people's lives. So I was a part of the Calgary Immigrant Society for 3 years. I was UNICEF for 4 years. I was on the national board for Make-A-Wish Foundation for 3 years. I was involved in Ad Rodeo for a couple of years, and many others. And now it's the Walrus that has my attention, because I really believe that fact-based journalism is absolutely necessary in our world today. And, you know, the Walrus has such a high standard of the information they put out in the world. And I absolutely love being a part of that right now.
So very practical advice for people to think about, seeing where you can make that impact. And I think that's really important. And I love your idea that you're looking at different organizations, and that you keep moving, that, you know, these 3-4 year stints, that's a fun way to approach and make a big impact.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And then you can only tap into the same people so many times for money before they stop returning your calls, right?
So the final question, what is your dream for Canada?
Oh, that's a big question, and I don't know if I'm qualified to answer that, because all of us have a dream for Canada, and all of us have, you know, things that we're proud of about this country. But, you know, I think Canada can be, you know, a giant in this world with a huge footprint, despite the fact that we're a small country with a small population. But whether it's technology or energy or global citizenship, or, you know, I think we need to put our stake in the ground and be a little bit more fearless about what we want our legacy to be. And I do think that, you know, we can really push in so many different areas, be a really big presence on the world stage, through our immigration program, through adding to our citizens, through, you know, adding to our technology and our energy and everything else. But what I don't want to see change or go away is the Canadian welcome and, you know, the open arms, the story of Gander, you know, those mm-hmm. kind of things that make us so Canadian. I'd hate to lose that. Yeah, so that would be more of what we're already doing.
Mm-hmm. Double down, Canada. That's an absolutely beautiful dream for Canada. You have been listening to the impressive and absolutely inspiring Zahra Al-Harazi. She has joined us today with her compelling story of her exciting career and her incredible journey. You heard about her amazing book. Tell us again about the book, and tell us again about the website.
Yeah, so the book is What It Takes, published by HarperCollins, to live and lead with purpose, laughter, and strength, available at Indigo Chapters everywhere and on Amazon. And the website is myskillet.com.
Beautiful. So thank you again for joining us today on the Fearless Women podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a big honor.
Thanks for listening. We want our community to grow. Tell your friends, follow us on Instagram, and sign up for our newsletter at fearlesswomenpodcast.com to get the early scoop. Thanks again to our amazing sponsors, BDC, Lockheed Martin, and Export Development Canada. Subscribe in Apple Podcasts or in your favorite app. And if you like what you hear, give us a 5-star rating. I'm Janice McDonald. Stay fearless. Thank you to Export Development Canada, the international risk experts, for your support of the Fearless Women podcast. Supporting Canadian companies of all sizes succeed on the world stage, EDC takes your worries away and helps you grow your business with confidence. When your business has no borders, neither does your potential. Find out more at edc.ca/womenintrade. Thank you to BDC, the bank devoted exclusively to entrepreneurs, for your support of the Fearless Women podcast. We love smart companies that want to amplify women's voices. For more information, go to bdc.ca/women.